ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ओं. सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां सद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः. ब्रह्मसूत्रास् चाप्टर् 3 पाद 3 सदा सर्ववेदान्तप्रत्ययाधिकरणं. सर्ववेदान्तप्रत्ययं चोदनाद्यविशेषात् वेदान्येति चेत् नैकस्यामपि स्वाध्यायस्य तथात्वेन हि समाचारे अधिकारश्च सववच्च तन्नियमः दर्शयति च उपसंहाराधिकरणम्. उपसंहारः अर्थाभेदाद् विशिशेषवत् समानि च अन्यथात्वाधिकरणम् अन्यथात्वाधिकरणम्. अन्यथात्वं शब्दात् इति चेत् न अविशेषात् न वा प्रकरणभेदात् परोवर्यस्त्वादिवत् संज्ञातश्चेत् तदुक्तम् अस्ति तु तदपि व्याप्त्यधिकरणं. व्याप्तेश्च समञ्जसम्. वि आर् सीङ्ग् दि 4th अधिकरणं, दि 9th मन्त्र. व्याप्तेश्च समञ्जसम्. This is the 9th mantra, 3rd pada, 3rd chapter, 368th running Brahma Sutra. And in this sutra, the Chandogya Upanishad 1st mantra, the 1st sentence was taken for analysis. Om iti etat aksharam udgitam upasita. And the discussion was, what is the relationship between aksharam and udgitam? And they are said in the sentence in opposition or samanadhikaranyam. I went through the definition of all the different types of samanadhikaranyam in the last class. Samanam adhikaranam yayoho shabdayoho tau shabdau samanadhikaranau shabdau tasya bhavaha samanadhikaranyam. That is the definition. This is the explanation of samanadhikaranyam. Samanam, the same. Adhikaranam means the object, topic. And when two names have got the same object, like for example, Dasharatha Putraha and Sita Bharta, husband of Sita and Dasharatha's son. These are two words or names. They have got Samanam and Adhikaranyam. In this context, Adhikaranam means meaning or object. So the object of Sita's husband and Dasharatha Putra, Dasharatha's son, that object, that Adhikaranam is Samanam, that is same. And when two objects have the same meaning, the nature of those two words is called samanadhikaranyam. Therefore, samanadhikaranam is a property which exists in two synonymous words which has the same meaning. In English, it is called apposition, not OPP, APPOSITAY. And in Sanskrit, samanadhikaranyam is indicated by the words occurring in the same case and in the same number. These are all conditions. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma is samanadhikaranyam. All of them are existing in the same case. And here also, Udgitam and Aksharam occurring in Chandogya Upanishad is samanadhikaranyam. And what type of samanadhikaranyam? If you remember in the last class, we talked about 4 of them. First one is Adhyasa Samanadhikaranyam, in which one is invoked on the other. And then Apavada Samanadhikaranyam, in which one is displaced by the other. And Aikya Samanadhikaranyam, which is identity or oneness. And Visheshana Visheshya Samanadhikaranyam, when one qualifies the other. And the conclusion in this Adhikaranam is what? Udgitam and Omityaksharam. We should take it together actually. They have got Visheshana Visheshya Bhava Samanadhikaranyam. And what does that mean? The word Om Iti Etat Aksharam refers to the Omkara belonging to all the 4 Vedas. It is like a word, like for example, tree or man. It can refer to any common tree or any common man. But once I add an adjective, tall, that adjective specifies that specific thing, tall man, tall tree. Similarly, Om is a general Om belonging to all 4 Vedas. But once we use the word Udgitam Omkaram, then the adjective restricts. It is restrictive adjective. Generally, the job of the adjective is what? Specifying or restricting. In Sanskrit, it is called Vyavarta Visheshanam, or restrictive adjective, Vyavartaka Visheshanam. And here the word Udgita can refer to only Samaveda musical Omkara, not all the four Vedas. Only Samaveda musical Omkara, and the other three non-musical Omkara in the other three Vedas is excluded by this mantra. By saying Udgitam Omkaram Upasita, do meditation on this Omkara only. Now the question is, why do we say that? The other three Samanadikaranyams do not fit in. Shankaracharya says, it is so because of the other three, the Apavada Samanadikaranyam and Aikya Samanadikaranyam, they are not possible here because these two Samanadikaranyams are used in the context of teaching or giving knowledge. Jnana Prakarane, they are used. We have these two. Why do we say so like that? Because Apavada Samanadikaranyam is used when a thing is mistaken. And to duplicate the mistaken thing, we use Apavada Samanadikaranyam. For example, in the case of rope snake, in that example, I have the job to correct. And for that, I displace the snake because snake is not there. Therefore, I use Apavada Samanadikaranyam. The snake that you see is rope. And when I make this statement, I am displacing the snake, which is mithyam, by the knowledge of rope, which is satyam. Therefore, apavada samanadikaranyam is used for education or teaching purpose. It is meant as a corrective measure. It is education process. For example, the Upanishad says, Brahmai Vedam Vishwamidam Varishtam. The world is Brahman. And it is not an upasana, but it is a correction. Why it is a correction? What you are seeing as world is a mistake. Therefore, displace the idea that there is a world and replace that by Brahman. Therefore, sarvatra brahma darshanam. Isavasyam idagum sarvam. So, apavada samanadikaranyam is used in jnana prakaranam, in the context of jnana. Similarly, Aikya Samanadikaranam is also used for teaching. When two things are taken differently, for example, because of superficial differences, I have to tell you the differences are superficial, do not take it seriously, and really speaking, both are one and the same. This is the job of every equation that we use. Every equation is what? Is Aikya Samanadikaranam. For example, if you take an equation, 6 plus 3 equal to 10 minus 1. I am forced to write this equation because the left-hand side and the right-hand side are superficially different because the numbers and the arithmetic signs, they are different. 6, 3 on the left-hand side, 10 and 1 right side, plus sign and minus sign. Therefore, the teacher has to teach the student. Therefore, Aikyam is meant for teaching. Therefore, that is also used in Jnana Prakaranam only. Whereas what is stated here in the Chandogya Mantra that we just read is Upasana Prakaranam, namely Om Iti Etat Aksharam Udgitam Upasita. It is Upasana Prakaranam, and in this context, Apavada Samanadikaranyam and Aikya Samanadikaranyam have no relevance. The prakaranam being a teaching prakaranam in those two. So two are gone among the three. Now we have to tackle only one more samanadikaranyam, and that is adhyasa samanadikaranyam. This is a bit technically a little difficult. So adhyasa samanadikaranyam means we cannot we take the sentence as a prescription of an upasana. The sentence, why don't you take it as a prescription of an upasana itself? And what is the upasana? Om iti etat aksharam udgitam upasita. Meditated upon Omkara as udgita. And if you take Omkara as Udgita, then you can call it as Adhyasa Samanadhikaranyam, in which Omkara is a symbol on which I superimpose Udgita Tvam. Why can't we take that meaning? If one asks, we say no. Because if such a prescription is made, then a separate palam has to be mentioned for such an upasana. Because every upasana has to have a palam, prayojanam. But there is no upasana palam mentioned here. So if I have to do a meditation of Udgita upon Omkara, then it should have a separate palam, and therefore Adhyasa Samanadhikaranyam is also not possible. Then what is the right meaning? It will be Udgita, Omkara should be taken as Visheshana, Visheshya, and upon the Udgita Omkara. So you meditate a Prana, Ishvara, all those things. Udgita is not an object of meditation, but it is an adjective for the symbol of meditation. Should be careful. Udgita is not an object of meditation, but it is an adjective for the symbol of meditation. And here it's a little subtle to understand. It is a very subtle difference upon Omkara. We are not superimposing Udgita. Nadhyasa means we normally tend to think something is superimposed on the other. If it is nothing, we are not superimposing Udgita. Then if we suppose Udgita, if you superimpose Udgita upon Omkara, Udgita will become object of meditation. That is not here the object. Here Udgita is part of the symbol of Omkara. Thus it is Udgita Omkara. Should say it as Udgita Omkara put together is a symbol. And upon the Udgita Omkara, we are going to meditate Prana. Udgita and all, I hope you understand, in Samaveda. So Udgita is meditate Prana, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara and all, on Udgita Omkara. Pranavam, Om, Udgita, Samaveda. Therefore, Udgita is not object of meditation, but it is the attribute of the symbol. I hope you are with me with the illusion. It's a little, unless you are close, it may be a little confusing. So, over which we are going to meditate later. And what is the logic for this? It is, if Udgita itself is the object of meditation, then a separate palam for that meditation should be mentioned, and there is no such palam at all here, and therefore Adhyasa Samanadhikaranyam is also not applicable here. Anyway, all these things are all not important. It's just want to tell you how the analysis, the commentators, they go through. The answer alone is important for us here, even though they go through all these discussions. So Udgita Omkara is the symbol over which varieties of deities are invoked. This is the general analysis. So Udgita Omkara, on which so many, as for the Upasana, so many deities are invoked. Now let us do the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning. Vyaptescha Samanjasam is the sutra. Vyaptehe means because of the wider meaning. Wider meaning of what? We have to supply Omkara. Wider meaning of Omkara. Cha Samanjasam. It is indeed appropriate. Samanjasam, appropriate, indeed appropriate. Then we complete this word, the sentence saying, supplying the words to specify it with the adjective Udgita. It is adjective. Udgita is not an object, it's an adjective. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Vyaptehe means vyaptihi. Vyaptihi means pervasion. And in this context, pervasion means wider meaning. For what? For the word Omkara. And what is the wider meaning of the word Omkara? The Om occurring in Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda, and Atharva Vedas. The same Om occurring in all of them. That's a wider meaning. Like the word man or woman. It spreads all over so many people assembled in a hall, let us say. And if I have to refer to only one person, then I have to use an adjective. So specify. Therefore, vyaptihi means wider meaning. Therefore, Chaturveda Antargata Omkara, the Omkara occurring in all the four Vedas, that is the wider meaning. Vyapaka Omkara, the one that is pervading all of them. And Vyaptehe, Vyaptehe here means Panchami Vibhakti, Hetvarte Panchami, because of the wider meaning of Omkara. And the next word is cha. Cha is in the sense of negation of the other three samanadi karanyams. Samanjasam means appropriate or proper or correct, perfect, all those synonyms. Using the word udgita, serving as an adjective is appropriate. That is the meaning. Using the word udgita, serving as an adjective is appropriate. That is the meaning of the sutra. And by serving as adjective, what does it do? The wider omkara is restricted now. And therefore, Samaveda omkara alone is the symbol, alambanam. Alambanam is symbol, I have told you earlier, for all our jeshta, shreshta, jeshtatva, shreshtatva, visishta, prana upasanas, for all of them. This is a symbol. And also later, Hiranmaya Purushaha, that upasana also we have gone through. Parovariyatva visishta, Ishvara upasana, we have gone through in previous sutras. So for all of them, all those Ishvaras should be invoked, not in any Omkara, but the Samaveda Omkara is the symbol. So this restriction is achieved by the Udgita Visheshana. So with this, the fourth Adhikaranam and the ninth Sutra is also over. Now let us go to the next Adhikaranam, Sutra number 10. Sarvabeda Adhikaranam. Sarvabedatu anyatre me. Sarvabedatu anyatre me is the sutra. 10th sutra, 3rd pada, 3rd chapter, 369th running Brahma Sutra. First, let us see a general introduction of this adhikaranam with only one sutra. It is called Sarvabedadhikaranam based on the beginning of the sutra, Sarvabedat. And in this adhikaranam, the subject matter is prana upasana. That occurs in three Upanishads. In almost similar manner, it is prescribed, prana upasana. In Chandogya Upanishad, 5th chapter, 1st section, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 6th chapter, 1st section, and Kaushitaki Upanishad, 2nd chapter. It is mentioned in all of them. And in all these three portions, prana upasana is there, where we see a common story, which we have seen before also many times. And what is the story? There is prana samvada. There is a big debate, samvada, between all the sense organs, jnanendriyani, karmendriyani, antakaranam, pranaha, all of them, they have a debate. And the debate was what? Who is the greatest among them? Then each one claims, and one by one disappear. Each one claims greatness. Each one says, okay, I will disappear. Let us see what happens to you. How are you going to survive without me? One way they disappear, to find out which is inevitable, with slight modification among the three. The story is the same in all, though. One by one, each sense organs and the mind, they quit. And when other organs quit, nothing serious happens to the individual. When the eyes quit, maybe he is not able to see, but still he lives, survives. But when prana is about to quit, all other organs are not able to function, and therefore the experiment is over. Then all sense organs and antakaranam, the mind, antakaranam is inner equipment, the mind, they accept the jeshtatvam and the shreshtatvam of prana. Jeshtatvam means eldest, shreshtatvam is the greatest. So they, all of them accept the jeshtatvam and shreshtatvam of prana. And thereafter, the Upanishad, the upasana is prescribed. And what is the upasana? Jeshtatvam, shreshtatvam, visishta, prana upasana. Prana with the virtue of jeshtatvam, being the eldest, senior most, and also being the greatest, shreshtatvam. This is common among the three Upanishads. Then what is uncommon? There is a slight difference in the Kaushitaki Upanishad approach and the approaches of the other two Upanishads, namely Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka. And what is that? In the other two Upanishads, while giving the story, the Upanishad talks about the glory of each sense organ also. Eye has got a glory. Walk has got a glory. That glory is also described in those Upanishads. The glory of the Vag Indriyam is given as Vasishtatvam, being the richest organ. So the glory of Vag is Vasishtaha. The name of the Rishi also Vasishta. Vasu means wealth, Vasi, wealthy, Vasishta. and superlative actually wealthiest. Vasu, vasi, vasiyan, vasittaha. So why organ of speech is wealthy? Because it has got vak, the wealth of knowledge. Vak represents jnanam, and therefore it is the wealthiest. And through the knowledge, you can get money also, materially wealthy also. Kshemayiti vachi. So Taittiriya Upanishad says, so good words, nice words, convincing words will get you prosperity also. And then the eyes are given the glory of pratishtha. It means support. Eyes are said to be support because while walking, etc., it is the eye that supports when you walk on the road. And for the mind also a glory is given. Actually, I use the expression vasittatvadi guna, which means virtues like richness and all that. These are the glories of the sense organs. And after the experiment is over among the various sense organs, prana and all that, all the organs understand that we are still in the story. All the organs understand that prana alone is the greatest one, and every organ says whatever glory they have themselves, it is all because of prana alone and not because of them. If prana is not there, eyes cannot have glory and walk cannot go glory and all that. Therefore, all the glories, the sense organs hand over to prana. And at the end of the story, Vasishtatvam is transferred from vak to prana. So all the other organs also surrender their virtues individually to prana. Therefore, prana upasana includes the meditation of prana with all these transferred virtues also. So by doing prana upasana, one does the upasana with the meditation with prana endowed with all the great virtues it received from all the other organs. So prana had no virtue at the beginning. But at the end of the story, prana has all the glories of all the sense organs. So this transference of virtues from sense organs to prana is said in Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. But in Kaushitaki Upanishad, the additional virtues are not mentioned while the story part is the same. So we are trying to see the difference between the three Upanishads. Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka, the story is also same, and the transference of the virtues of the sense organs to prana is also same. Whereas in Kaushitaki, story only is same, but this transference is not mentioned. Hence the Purvapakshi says, the prana upasana of Kaushitaki Upanishad is different from that of Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka because of this reason. And what is the conclusion, Siddhanti? Our conclusion is, it is not different from the other two. This is the essence of this adhikarana. Now we will see the general analysis of this sutra. Prana in all the three Upanishads is the same because of Jeshtatvam and Shreshtatvam. And seen in most eldest and also its greatest. And the story reveals the intention of the Upanishad. The purpose of the story is what? Any virtue of any organ belongs to prana only. Every organ is known only as secondary prana because the very virtue of every organ belongs to prana. Because prana is the same, the attributes are also same. Now let us do the word analysis. First see the running meaning. Sarva bedate anyatra me, anyatra ime. Anyatra ime is there, anyatra ime. Ime means these attributes. Anyatra. Anyatra means should be included in the prana upasana mentioned elsewhere. Sarva bedat. Since the upasana is the prana upasana, it is the same everywhere. Abedat means it's same everywhere, no difference. Now let us see the significance of the words. Sarva bedat means one and the same. Upasya prana abedat. It is only same prana upasana. And Sarva refers to all the three Upanishads here, Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka, and Kaushitaki Upanishad. So Pranasya Abhedat. Prana is the same in all the three Upanishads. Sarvatra Abheda, it is again Saptami Tatpurusha, Sarvatra Abhedaha, Sarvatra Abhedaha. And Anyatra Ime, Anyatra refers to in the Kaushitaki Upanishad. Also Anyatra. Ime, these attributes, this is Vasishtatvadi, the attributes, all that thing which we mentioned earlier, which are said in the Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka. and which are not said in Kaushitaki. That unsaid attribute, that should be also added here. So samyojaha. So samyojaha should be added. Shankaracharya, he raises actually a minor Purvapaksha here. And he answers it also. He says, the second chapter, 14th section mantra of Kaushitaki Upanishad says that yaha evam vidwan. Yaha evam vidwan. All that mantra is a long mantra. I only put only the relevant portion. Evam vidwan is what is important to us. One who meditates in this manner, evam, he will get the phalam. That's what it says. And the Purvapakshi, he argues, the Upanishad says, in this manner, evam, in this manner, which means you don't have the right to add these attributes because it should be only done upasana in this manner only. You cannot just add all these attributes. So Purvapakshi argues, Father Shankaracharya says, by using the word evam, the Upanishad has brought in the prana also. Once prana is brought in, the other attributes are automatically there because all attributes of all the sense organs, they are all attributed to, are transferred to this prana, their glories. And they are all transferred to prana. So they are all prana's attributes only because the attributes are never separate from the attributed substance. Attributed substance namely prana. Therefore, you cannot separate the virtues from prana. That is the argument Shankaracharya gave. Now let us go to the next sutra. Anandadayaha Pradhanasya. Anandadayaha Pradhanasya is the sutra. 11th sutra, 3rd section, 3rd chapter, 370th running Brahma Sutra. First, let us do a general introduction to this Adhikarana with three sutras. It's also again Anandadhikarana because Anandadayaha is the first word. And in this Adhikaranam, the topic is Brahman. And the Upanishad talks about Brahman and it uses the word Brahma in a very, very general sense. Upanishad does not differentiate here Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma. We only, to avoid confusion, use the word Ishvara to indicate Saguna Brahman and the word Brahman to indicate Nirguna Brahman. The Upanishad uses the word Brahman for Nirguna as also Saguna. Therefore, the word Brahman is used in Jnanam context also, as also in the Upasana context. Therefore, both the topics are called Brahmavidya. That is why it can confuse people. Brahmavidya can be used for Nirguna Brahma Jnanam or Saguna Brahma Upasana. Pay attention to the words I am using. Nirguna Brahma Jnanam. I am not saying Nirguna Brahma Upasana. Saguna Brahma Upasana. So in fact, in Visishtadvaitam, Brahma Vidya means Saguna Brahma Upasana only. Because in Visishtadvaitam, they do not accept Nirguna Brahma Jnanam. This is actually an aside topic, but I just wanted to mention it incidentally. Therefore, when you ask a Visishtadvaitin, what does it mean by the Taittiriya Upanishad Brahmanandavalli statement, Brahma Vid Aapnoti Param, Brahma Vida Aapnoti Param, What does it mean? We say, Vedantin say, Nirguna Brahma Jnanena Mokshaha. For Advaitin, by having Nirguna Brahma Jnana, one gains Moksha. Whereas the Visishta Advaitin will say, Brahma Vithu Apnodhi Param means, Saguna Brahma Upasanena Shukla Gatya Vaikuntham Prapnoti. By doing Saguna Brahma Upasana, through Shukla Gati, a person will reach Vaikuntham. That is what he will interpret. We say Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, no Upasana, and Moksha, here and now. And for Visishtadvaitam, Brahma Vid means Saguna Brahma Upasana, and for how long? Throughout the life. And Param Apnoti, when? After death, breaking the Brahma Randram in the center of the head, all that thing we have told, through Shukla Gati, Vaikuntham Gachati, all that. Therefore, the word Brahma Vidyam, one should be very careful. Now the question is, when the word Brahman is used, what all the attributes must be taken universally in all contexts and what should be taken contextually applying to a particular context, not universally in all contexts. This is the discussion in this Adhikarana. And the answer is given is what? Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. This means Sat, Chit, Ananda is there. They are the intrinsic nature which should be taken all the time along with Brahman. For this Brahman, the intrinsic nature Sat, Chit, Ananda. Satyam, Jnanam, Ananta. Which comes in the context of Jnanam only. So Jnana Prakarane, we have to include all the features. What are the things? Sat, Chit, Ananda. Even if some are not mentioned, when we say Anando, Brahme, Divya Janat, only Ananda is mentioned. But we have to still include Sat and Chit also. Similarly, in some places, Sadeva, Somya, Idamagra, Asit, only Sat is mentioned, Sadeva. We should include Chit and Ananda also. Thus, there are certain essential features occurring in Jnana Prakaranam which should be taken in all the Jnana Prakaranam, even if some features are not mentioned. Whereas, there are some incidental features which are not the essential nature of Brahman, which will not be taken always, but taken only in the context of a particular upasana. Like Hiranyasmashruho, this we have seen, golden mustached Brahman, for whom Brahman has a golden mustache. Don't say Brahman is Nirguna Mandal, because we have said that the Upanishad uses the word Brahman only, and the golden mustache should not be brought in all the contexts. It is only in the Chandogya, first chapter, sixth section, and first chapter, second section context only. What the first chapter, sixth section says? Yeshontaraditya Hiranmaya Purushaha Drishyate Hiranyasmashruhu Hiranyasmashruhu Hiranyakeshaha and all that. Smashru is mustache. And also in the seventh section, Tasya Yata Kapyasam Pundarikam Evam Akshini. Akshini. Therefore, they all become what? Incidental features. Similarly, Satya Kamaha, Satya Sankalpaha, they will vary from Upanishad to Upanishad, many of these. In fact, even Ishwaratvam is not the intrinsic nature of Brahman. Ishwar, Godhood, is not incidental, intrinsic nature of Brahman. Because only when Jivas are there, poor Brahman can be called a God or Lord. Unless Jivas are there, who is going to call Brahman as God? He can be the controller, because we are there, the controlled Jivas. If the controlled Jivas are not there, how can God get a controller title? What he will control? So when the controlled Jivas are not there, even God loses his Godhood. Therefore, they all will come under incidental features. And this differentiation of incidental and intrinsic features is the aim of this Adhikarana. This is the general introduction to this Adhikaranam. Now let us see the general analysis of the first sutra, sutra number 11. And Vyasacharya, here he says, he gives the intrinsic features which go with Brahman always. And in all the Upanishads, wherever Brahman is mentioned, we have to take that, all these intrinsic features. That is, wherever there is Jnana Prakaranam, that should be understood. Wherever upasana is there, we should not take like that. But wherever jnanam is the topic, we have to understand to take that. And what are they? As we said, anandadayaha. Anandadayaha. Instead of taking sat, Vyasacharya says anandadayaha. He would have just said sat only, but he said anandadayaha. Adi means anandadayaha. Adi means etc. Sat, chit, etc. Ananda is there. Satchidananda, Satvichit, etc. also should be taken. They are the intrinsic features. And in the next sutra, Vyasacharya takes up the incidental features that varies from upasana to upasana. Therefore, for example, if you know it is Ramanavami was over just now. So Ramanavami, what upasana do we do during Ramanavami? It is also Brahma upasana only. We only say Rama upasana, whereas the Upanishad says it is Brahma Upasana. With what virtues? Ramatva virtues. It is the virtues of Ramatvam. But it is still Brahma Upasana only. And in the same way, on Krishnashtami day, we do what? Krishnatva Upasana. With Krishna's virtues. Similarly, Guru Upasana, Guru Purnima. Gurutva virtues. They are all incidental only. So the intrinsic in the 11th, incidental features in the 12th sutras are talked about, and that is the difference between them. Now let us go to the word analysis. Let us do the running meaning first. Anandadayaha, the features like ananda are intrinsic attributes like ananda. Pradhanasya are the nature of Brahman in all the contexts of jnana, only in jnana prakarana. Now let us see the significance of the words. Anandadayaha, ananda, etc. Anandadayaha. So what are the etc. means? Satchit, all those things also should be included in addition to ananda. Then pradhanasya. Pradhanasya refers to Brahma, Brahman. The word pradhanam is used. Any substance is called pradhanam and the attributes are called apradhanam. Only the substance is called pradhanam. The attributes are called apradhanam. Therefore, all the apradhanam attributes, they belong to pradhanam Brahma. And why it is called apradhanam? Because when it is dependent, it is called apradhanam, whereas the substance supports them, and therefore it is called pradhanam. It is only an incidental thing, therefore pradhanasya. Pradhanasya here refers to brahmanaha. And in all the jnanam contexts, occurring in all the Upanishads, this is taken. So in Mundaka Upanishad, for example, jnana prakarana, and Katopanishad, again jnana prakarana, in all of them. So jnana prakaranam, in all the jnana prakaranam of the Upanishads, these features of Nirguna Brahma are for understanding only one should take. No upasana is required for jnanam, jnanam Brahman or anantam Brahman. No upasana is required. It's only for understanding. It is to know that the satyatvam, satyam Brahman is I am. The ignorance-based problems of samsara will go away one on knowing that I am Brahma Chaitanya. There is no nirgunam Brahma upasana. It is only for understanding. Upasyam Brahman, meditated Brahman, is described in the Shastra with variety of features. It is not meant for knowing only, but after knowing, we have to use that Brahman in the practice of upasana. The knowledge does not produce jnanam in the case of Sagunam Brahman. Knowledge has to be followed by meditation. And all the phalam depends upon the quality of the meditation. With the duration of meditation, the benefits will increase. Here, Vyasacharya says, all the important attributes, etc., must be included in the entire context. So wherever Nyayam Brahman is mentioned, all the essential features should be added. Essential features. So Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam, they are all essential features. Therefore, Nyayam Brahman is only one, and all the features must be brought in all the Upanishads wherever Nyayam Brahman is talked about. Whereas in the case of Upasyam Brahman means the Brahman you do Upasana on. We cannot take all the features, but take only the special features said in the particular place. Eka Rupam and Aneka Rupam cannot be brought in here. The non-essential features should not be brought in. Essential features do not require Maya Sambandha. So Brahman is Satyam without Maya. Brahman is jnanam without maya. Brahman is ananda means what? What is the ananda we talk about should be taken into account. If ananda is experiential ananda, pleasure, experience, you enjoy pleasure. If it is experiential ananda, that means it is coming, going, arriving, departing ananda. That means it requires maya. And if ananda means non-experiential purnatva, or freedom from lack. I don't lack anything. Freedom from apurnatvam or limitation. And that ananda is the essential nature of Brahman. It does not require maya. So all these are called essential features and they must be brought in wherever Nyayam Brahman is talked about. That is, so between Upasyam Brahman and Nyayam Brahman, we made the difference. That is what we saw. Anandadayaha, சத்ய ஞான அனந்த அனந்த ஆனந்தாதயா. ஆல் தி ஃபோர், தீஸ் ஃபோர் எசென்சியல் ஃபீச்சர்ஸ். அண்ட் பிரதானசிய பிலாங்ஸ் டு பிரதானம் பிரம்ம, தாத்பரியம் விஷயம் ஹியர், தாத்பரிய விஷயம் பிரம்ம, அதாட் பிரம்ம ஆர் விசேஷியம் பிரம்ம ஆர் ஞேயம் பிரம்ம. ஸோ வேறவர் ஞேயம் பிரம்ம இஸ் டாக்ட் அபவுட் தர் இஸ் ஆல் நாலெட்ஜ். Wherever means in whichever Upanishad it is talked about, that's what the, all these things that were brought, all these features. Then the next question is, what are the non-essential features which need not be brought into at all when we talk about Nyayam Brahma in all the contexts? That is going to be discussed in the next Sutra, Sutra 12. Priya Shirastvadi Apraptihi Upachayapachayau Hi Bede. பிரியசிரஸ்துவாதி அப்ராப்தி உபச்சயாபச்சயோ ஹி பேதே. உபச்சய அபச்சய ஹி பேதே, தட் இஸ் தி 12th சூத்ரம், தேர்ட் செக்ஷன், தேர்ட் பாதா, தேர்ட் சாப்டர், 371 ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரம். அண்ட் இன் திஸ் சூத்ரம் தி நான் எசென்சியல் ஃபீச்சர்ஸ் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன், ஆக்சுவலி ஷுட் சப்ளை, ஷுட் பி அண்டர்ஸ்டுட் ஆஸ் உபாசியம் பிரம்மன், பிகாஸ் தி மோமெண்ட் நான் எசென்சியல் ஃபீச்சர்ஸ் கம் வி ஹவ் டு டாக் அபவுட் உபாசியம் பிரம்மன், நாட் ஞேயம் பிரம்மன். They are discussed here. And if we say essential features, then we should take it as Nyayam Brahma. So that difference should be clear. Essential features, Satyam, Jnanam, Anandam, Nyayam Brahma. Non-essential features, they are all Upasyam Brahma. Srishti Karanam. Srishti Karanam is non-essential feature because of Maya association. Srishti comes only with Maya. So Brahman is Srishti Karanam. Similarly, Sthiti Karanam, Laya Karanam, all those with Maya. Similarly, Satya Kamaha, Satya Sankalpaha, all these are also non-essential features. And Vyasacharya says, even experimental and experiential Ananda is non-essential features. And how do we define the experiential Ananda? Priya Shirastvadi. That is the word here. Experiential Ananda is Priya Shirastvadi. Here, by using the word Priya Shiraha, Vyasacharya reminds us where? Taittiriya Upanishad, where Brahman is discussed as which has got experiential Ananda. Brahman is discussed as that which has got experiential Ananda. Especially in the Anandamaya Kosha, Brahman is described along with experiential Ananda. And what is the description in Taittiriya Upanishad? Tasya Priya Me Vashiraha மோதோ தட்சிண பக்ஷஹ பிரமோத உத்தர பக்ஷஹ ஆனந்த ஆத்மா பிரம்ம புச்சம் பிரதிஷ்டா. சோ ஆத்மா, விச் இஸ் நான் டிஃபரண்ட் ஃப்ரம் பிரம்மன், ஹேஸ் காட் சோ மெனி கிரேட்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஆனந்தா. அண்ட் வாட் ஆர் தோஸ் கிரேட்ஸ்? பிரியம் ஏவ சிரஹ. பிரியம் ரெஃபர்ஸ் டு ஹாப்பினஸ், ஆனந்த. அண்ட் மோதஹ ரெஃபர்ஸ் டு ஹாப்பியர். And Pramodaha refers to happiest, superlative Ananda. That is discussed in Taittiriya Upanishad. So positive degree, degrees of comparison. Positive degree, comparative degree, and superlative degrees of experiential happiness. Ananda is called Priya Shiratvadi. Adi refers to Moda, Pramoda, and all that. And they are superficially said to be Brahmans in the Anandamaya Kosha Prakaranam in Taittiriya Upanishad. Of course, later we established that the experiential Ananda belongs to the Koshas only, that we later conclude. But superficially seeing the Anandamaya Kosha Prakaranam, these are all said to be Brahman's Ananda by the word Brahma Puccham Pratishta. So what should be our conclusion? They all are the non-essential features. And therefore, they should not be brought in Jnana Prakaranam. But the experiential pleasures should be brought in Jnaya Brahma Prakaranam, because they are not essential features. And along with that, we should also add that we should not bring Srishti Karanatvam, Sthiti Karanatvam, Laya Karanatvam, Satya Kamatvam, Satya Sankalpatvam, Kama Phala Dhatrutvam, Karma Phala Dhatrutvam, all that we cannot include. They should not be brought in when we say Tat Tvam Asi. When you say that Mahavakyam, all these should not be brought about. One should not, for example, Brahman is Srishtikarta, I am not Srishtikarta, because if me Tattvamasi, if you say I am Brahman, and then Brahman is Srishtikarta, then you will have the doubt how I can be Srishtikarta. One should not bring these in Jnana Prakarana. Okay. So these problems come only when the word Brahman is very loosely used in Saguna Brahman and Nirguna Brahman context. But we have avoided this problem by using separate words. What are those words? Brahman means Nirguna Brahman and Ishvara means Saguna Brahman. That is how Vedantins use. We have invented two separate words. Therefore, there is no problem for us. But Vyasacharya sees the problem because in Shastras, the word Brahman is used for Nirguna Brahman and also Ishvara, for Saguna Ishvara also. And in such a context, one should know what are the essential and non-essential features to be taken. And these are all non-essential features because upachaya apachaya. In the sutra, this word, you might have heard that, upachaya apachaya. Because experiential pleasures are subject to increase and decrease. Upachaya, increase, decrease, apachaya. Therefore, they cannot be the essential feature of Brahman. This is the general analysis. Now let us see the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning. Priya shiratvadi apraptihi. Actually, the entire thing is one compound word. Attributes like happiness, that is experiential pleasures, not the ananda of previous sutra, where it is non-experiential happiness in the previous sutra. So this is the experiential pleasures are talked about here. Therefore, attributes like experiential happiness are not to be included in all the contexts. Ki upachaya apachaya, since they are subject to increase and decrease. Bede means in the field of duality. This is the running meaning. Now we will see the significance of the words. Priya shiratvadi apraptihi is a compound word, as I told, of three words, namely Priya Shiratvam plus Adi plus Apraptihi, three words. And Priya Shiratvam means happiness of the head, Shiraha, as mentioned in Taittiriya Upanishad. This refers to Anandamaya Kosha. Tasya Priyame Vaishiraha, that particular section that I just recited. So Priya Shiraha must be followed by Moda Dakshina Paksha and Pramoda Uttara Paksha. I told you 3 degrees of comparison. And this idiom represents 3 levels of experiential happiness. Therefore, Priya Shiratvadi means the 3 levels of experiential happiness. I'm saying all these experiential and all, those adjectives are very important. I'm not just talking about that Brahmananda is experiential only. Apraptihi means non-inclusion. Praptihi means arrival or inclusion. Apraptihi means non-inclusion of experiential happiness. Non-inclusion where? In Brahman. This is very important because many people think Brahman is embodiment of experiential happiness. All these so many confusions are there with people. Brahman is embodiment of experiential happiness, they interpret. Therefore, they use the word Brahma Anubhava also. And Brahma Anubhava is taken as Ananda Anubhava. And they look for such an Ananda happiness Anubhava. And they even think that one who has realized Brahman must be all the time excited because he's in Ananda all the time. He should be very excited. All these mistakes come because they take experiential happiness as the nature of Brahman. Brahman doesn't have any experience at all. Let alone experiential happiness. So in Brahman's presence, mind experiences the world, the emotions, and no experience should be connected with Brahman. This is very important. That is, experiential pleasure should not be included in Brahman. So the word used is apraptihi the sutra. Sashti tat purusha samasa. So priya shiratvadehe apraptihi. Priya Shiratvadya Praptihi. And the next word is Upachaya Apachaya. Upachaya means increase. And Apachaya refers to decrease. So Priya will increase and become Moda. and Moda will increase and become Pramoda. But unfortunately, what happens? Pramoda decreases to become Moda, and Moda can decrease to become Priya, and Priya changes to become Apriya, which becomes Krodha perhaps at the end, or Dukkha. And that is why even those people who seek that Ananda in Samadhi state, all those Savikalpaka Samadhi, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, all that, as they get more and more absorbed in Samadhi, Ananda increase, all right. And in the peak of Samadhi, Ananda also peaks. And gradually, Ananda comes down, because what happened? Doorbell rang or a phone rang, and the happiness comes down and replaced by perhaps anger, because the guy who rang the bell may be some sales representative, or the person who called on the phone may be some other sales representative. Therefore, how can that Ananda be ever called Brahmananda? People are still working for Brahmananda Anubhava, without knowing that Brahmananda has nothing to do with experiential pleasure. That is why Dayana Swami says nicely, whenever we say Brahmananda, you translate Ananda as what? As Ananta. Ananda as Ananta. You will be free from many confusions, he says. Therefore, Brahmananda means Anantatvam. Anantatvam means what? Freedom from the sense of limitation. I am not a limited person. Freedom from the notion that I am finite. That is Brahma Ananda Anubhava. Freedom from that notion. It is a cognitive process. It has nothing to do with emotion at all. It is an understanding that I don't lack anything in life. Because what we have already seen this in Kaivalya Upanishad. Mayeva sakalam jatam. Mayi sarvam pratishtitam. Mayi sarvam layam yati. By understanding this, the adhyasa of finitude goes away. That is called Ananda. There is no other bliss or pleasure of joy involved in it at all. So upachaya apachayav. And the advantage is what? When Ananda is freedom from the notion based on knowledge, knowledge will be all the time there. And therefore, freedom from the notion of limitation is also all the time there. Therefore, knowledge-based Ananda is undisplaceable. Experienced-based Ananda is displaceable by another counter-experience. Brahmananda is not something to be displaced by another counter-experience, because it is knowledge-based removal of the notion that I am finite. That is Brahmananda, upachaya, apachaya. And he means because, indicates the reason. Bhede. Bhede means in the context of difference or in the context of duality, which means vyavaharika drishti. So we deal with upasyam Brahman in vyavaharika drishti or in Veda drishti. So wherever the topic of upasana is there, the aim of the shastra is to retain the difference. We should be very careful. Wherever upasana is there, we want to retain the difference, not to remove the difference. Whereas in Nyayam Brahma, in that context, the aim of Shastra is neither to promote difference nor to retain difference, but to remove the difference. So in Nyayam Brahma context, the aim of the Shastra is neither to promote difference nor to retain difference, but to remove difference. Therefore, Nyayam Brahma is in Paramarthika Drishti and Upasyam Brahman is in Vyavaharika Drishti. Therefore, the level of discussion is different between these two. And this is why we are able to accommodate both Visishta Advaitam and Advaitam without any conflict, Paranadvaitam. Because Visishta Advaitam is dealing with the Upasyam Brahma in Vyavaharika Drishti, Advaitam is dealing with Nyayam Brahman in Paramarthika Drishti. Through Visishta Advaitam alone, we have to go to Advaitam. And even after Advaita Jnanam, I have to continue to live in the Vyavaharika world. Therefore, I will continue to accept Upasyam Brahma. All those will continue even after Jnanam. Therefore, Bhede. Bhede means Vyavaharike, Vyavahara Drishtav. This is the significance of the words. Now let us see the next sutra. It's a small sutra only. Itaretu artha samanyat. Itaretu artha samanyat. 13th sutra, third pada, third chapter, 372, learning Brahma Sutra. This is only a reinforcement of the first sutra. So itare means the other features. Other features means what? In the previous sutra, we talked about non-essential features and they should not be brought in all the contexts. Depending on the upasana prakarana, we should take it. That's what we said. So after talking about the non-essential features, when Vyasacharya says others, itara, it means what? The essential features. He talked about non-essential and when he says the others, means it's itara, the essential features. So itaretu, the essential features mentioned in the 11th sutra. And what are those essential features? Satya, jnana, ananda, ananda. That should be brought in wherever there is a Jnaya Brahma Prakarana. Why? Because Jnaya Brahman is Ekam and Upasya Brahman is Anekam. The very tatparyam of this Adhikaranam is Jnaya Brahma is Ekam. Upasya Brahma is Anekam, many. In Shiva Purana, for example, Shiva is Upasya Brahman. So therefore the stories differ, descriptions differ, the bhaktas differ, even the abharanams, the decorations you put, they also differ between Vishnu and Shiva and other deities. And if you go to Vishnu Puranam, Vishnu is Upasya Brahman. That is totally different. And do not bring Shiva Purana Upasya Brahman to Vishnu Purana Upasya Brahman. So it was so different. So if someone says both are Brahman only, yes, they are. But the context is Upasana here. We want to retain the Veda in Upasana. It is Vyavaharika Drishti. So Ajnana Nivritti is not the aim of Shiva Puja or Vishnu Puja. Ajnana Nivritti is not. Ajnana means Atma Jnana. Then what for they are done? For Chitta Shuddhi, Guru Prapti. They are the phalam. Only when you come to Jnaya Brahma Prakaranam, Ajnanam will go away. Therefore, Jnaya Brahma is Ekam. Only one. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now we'll do the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning. Artha samanyat. First, let us see the word tu. Tu means however. However, itare. Itare means the other attributes. They are included everywhere. The other attributes. Artha samanyat means because of the oneness of Brahman. This is the word meaning. Now let us see the significance of these words. Tu is to differentiate the essential features from non-essential features. However, unlike the non-essential features, that means essential features, itare, the other essential features. And what are those essential features? We already told, anandadayaha of Sutra 11. Satyam, jnanam, anantam and ananda. So itare tu. And we have to complete it by adding, this should be included in all the contexts. We should add this, all these four, satyam, jnanam, anandam, ananda. Why? Artha samanyat. Artha in this context means subject matter. So Jnayam Brahma is a subject matter. Samanya means it's one and the same. So Jnayam Brahman being one and the same in all the 10 Upanishads. Whereas the Upasyam Brahman differs from Upanishad to Upanishad. In one Upanishad also, from one Prakaranam to another. For example, we saw in Taittiriya, Kshayamayiti Vachi, Yoga Kshayamayiti Prana Panayoho, Karmeti Hastayoho, Gatiriti Padayoho, all that. So each Upasana is different from the other. Therefore, Upasyam Brahmas are many and Artha Samanyat, with this, actually Artha Samanyat, we already told, there is one and the same in all the various Upanishads. With this, the 6th Adhikaranam is also over. Now let us see the 7th Adhikaranam in the next class. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Yaparasa Maheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.